It's time to enter Mr. B's neighborhood. Scott Bertelson brings you an interview with a North Iowa neighbor each second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Find this and other episodes of Mr. B's Neighborhood on our website, KIOW.com. Now here's Scott Bertelson, Mr. B.
Hello out there, friends, in Mr. B's Neighborhood. How's it going? Can you see me? I'm sorry about that. But, you know, my interviewee today thought it was important for you to see him, I guess, and most importantly, to see me. So I'm very happy to say that I'm visiting with you in my lovely neighborhood today, sitting in my favorite chair and really talking to my, and I have been paid to say this, one of my favorite people. And that would be my former student. Remember, I started teaching when I was only five.
Only five.
Thank you. And quit talking. You're not introduced yet. Sorry. And that would be Jim Koloff. Hello, Jim Koloff from Cedar Falls.
Thank you, Mr. B, for bringing me and inviting me into your neighborhood. I'm so good
desperate
to be here. You are desperate. I can tell you're desperate. That's why I'm here.
Okay. Well, thank you. Jim is the king of technology, but we won't get into that story.
No, we will not.
Okay.
No.
So anyway, Jim, there are many reasons why I am very excited to speak with you, as I'm excited to speak to all the people in my neighborhood. But Jim, you and I go way back, don't we, Jim?
We do. We go way back.
When I first came here, can you recall what age you were?
When you first came, I was not in high school yet. You were there a couple of years before I came to high school, didn't you? I don't think you were there. I wasn't there when you came.
Okay,
I was probably in seventh grade when you came to high school.
Well, see, the first show I ever helped co-direct as a musical was Annie Gets Your Gun.
That is true.
And at that time, you were an eighth grader?
Eighth grader or a freshman. I'm not sure.
I think you were a freshman.
I think I was a freshman. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. You're playing mind games with me. So
I was trying to screw you up there.
Okay, I do take brain power medication, so keep that in mind.
You should.
Well, you need to think about that. So anyway, so I knew you for the first 4 years. After 4 years, you were my first senior class that I saw graduate, Jim.
Wow,
He's still talking for it. What a glorious day that was when you finally graduated, Jim. Now, Jim, to be serious, which I'm not going to be, but when you and I were working together, you were involved with speech and drama and the musicals. Can you tell our wonderful Mr. Bertelson's listening neighborhood some of the plays and musicals you were involved in?
Yes. Annie Get Your Gun was the first one that I was involved with. And that was The Music Man. I was in the quartet in The Music Man, and one of the school board or members in the quartet. Then we went on and we did The Sound of Music. I was Maximilian Detweiler in The Sound of Music, the crazy uncle. And then we finished up with Brigadoon, my senior year, as far as musicals go.
And what character part did you play in that?
I was always a sidekick. You never cast me as the lead. I always was the sidekick. Obviously, I didn't have the talent or the voice to be the lead, but liked being the sidekick. Yeah.
I think it's good to know, Jim, what your limitations are.
I learned very quickly. You taught me well.
Yes, and you were very good as a comedic sidekick. Now, here's a question for you. Who was the romantic male lead in that show?
That would have been Greg Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, he was always the romantic male lead. He was the male lead type. Yes.
Okay. So you did very well with that part of it, Jim. So tell our listening audience, what were some of the plays that you were involved with?
Well, we were in Arsenic and Old Lace. Remember that one?
Yes, I did it three times.
You did it three times?
You were Mortimer.
I was Mortimer. Yes. Yes. And that was a fun one. That we love that one. And then and that was with my junior year. So we had some seniors in there. Craig Rasmussen and Dave Coogee was in there, and Dave Strumman was the old man I threw out the window or the door, and
things haven't changed.
They haven't. I'd still throw them out the door. Yeah, no problem. And then senior year we did Heaven Can Wait, and I was the pugilist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that was a great show.
Thank you for impressing us with your knowledge of.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the other name of that.
Building boxing.
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Our briefs.
Building vocabulary. So anyway, yes, you were. And what was the story behind that? Let's just quiz you on that before we move on.
So the boxer was he was he was taken too early up to heaven, and then he went to heaven, and then he had a an angel who wanted him to go back and kind of make amends and fix some things. And so Dave Strumman again was the angel. He was my guardian angel. See, I remember who was in the show. And
did he right the wrongs that he needed to? Did he make amends? Did he fulfill what he needed to fulfill before being taken to the heavenly gates?
Isn't that how it always ends?
Well, I can't get religious at this time. So I guess I've read that. Yes. So that's something you could maybe talk to us later about when you have your evangelical hour. So
I will do that.
Okay. So Jim, you were highly involved with the arts in high school. Now, also during those 4 years, what else were you highly involved with?
Well, I was in speech club. I enjoyed speech club immensely and had some success there, taking different pieces to the Mohawk Festival. And we did the Clear Lake Speech Festival back then. I won both of those my senior year. And then we went to districts, and I laid an egg and didn't make it to Super State that year with my piece. But that's how
you're
it goes.
You're not the first.
I'm not the first to lay an egg. No.
And it didn't scar you for life, did it?
I think about it every morning when I wake up.
It did scar you.
It motivates me, though. It keeps me moving. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So with that knowledge and experience with verbal communication, Jim, then when you graduated from Fort City, where did you go to college and what did you major in?
So I went to Iowa State University and I majored in journalism, mass communications, and marketing. And at that time, I wanted to be an anchor, a TV anchor. I wanted to be the Ron Steele or the Bruce Downey or, that character. And kind of probably midway through school, I decided that probably wasn't for me, even though right. I enjoyed performing and enjoyed that. I wanted to be more the business end of it and the sales and marketing end of it, and picked up a marketing degree. And that's really where I've spent my time, although I love the performing. I still do some of that, still speak in front of groups, and I really enjoy it. But it just, to me, it wasn't probably a job. It was more of a hobby and a fun thing to do.
Now, you have spoken here for the, Hall of Fame people for grades or academic banquet.
Academic banquet, yes.
And, of course, you did mention me numerous times, I'm hoping.
I did, numerous, okay. As many times as you paid me for, yes.
Well, you didn't need to share that. But anyway, I appreciate that. So, Jim, what kind of acting gigs have you had now that you live in Cedar Falls? Folks, he doesn't live in Mr. B's immediate neighborhood.
I'm in the suburbs. I'm in the burbs. Mr. B's burbs. Yes.
Burbs. Yeah.
So in Cedar Falls, I have done two shows, and strangely, they were shows we did in high school. I did The Music Man, and I was once again in the quartet. But what was special about that show is my daughter, Sydney, was also in the show. She was Amaryllis. She played the piano.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes. And so that was a highlight to do a show with my daughter. And she went on to do several shows in high school and still enjoys that. And then we did The Sound of Music. And guess what? I was Max in The Sound of Music.
Did you change your interpretation of Max?
I did. Max was a much more mature and wise Max from the young juvenile Max that I played in high school. I really refined it and worked on it, Mr. B, just like you would have wanted me to.
If I cared, yes. So the point being, Jim, did you, when you played Max, you must have liked that one. You must have thought that was a funny one. So anyway, when you played Max then, did you have different outcomes for him as a character from the time you played it in high school?
You know, one thing that's a little strange about, not strange, but kind of funny, because when I thought about being Max and trying out for Max, I thought, you know, Max has no songs in the show. And singing for me is, you know, I have to practice a lot, and singing, I'm not just a natural singer. It really is a lot of work for me. The acting part, no problem. So I tried out, and the director said, well, now, you know, I want you to sing a couple songs that Max will sing in the show. And I said, well, Max doesn't sing any songs in the show. And they said, well, here are the songs, and why don't you sing a couple? And I thought to myself, that darn Bertelsen, he cut those songs out of the high school version and now they're back in like they should be. I have you to blame for that.
What you don't know won't hurt you. So just keep that in mind. Okay.
So they did the songs. Max did the songs, but we cut them out because that show's a long show. And yeah. You had to cut those songs out to make it a shorter show.
And you shouldn't advertise that, Jim, because I could be arrested.
Is that copyright infringement? Or
absolutely. You know, yes.
I'll cut that out later. We'll take that.
Okay, thank you.
No one will ever hear that.
At home, we'll never hear that. All right.
They'll never hear that. No.
So, Jim, with that, how did you become involved with operating this radio broadcasting dynasty that you are in charge of now? How did that all come about? What did you do when you graduated from college?
Well, after college, I went to Des Moines and worked for a larger radio company and did a pretty good job there and was promoted and was doing very well. And my parents, Tony and Sue Koloff, who many people will recognize, they've been in Forest City for over 40 years. They asked me to go join them in business and start a radio station in Manchester, Iowa, town a little bit bigger than Forest City, over in eastern Iowa near Dubuque. And after some cajoling and some convincing, I decided to leave Des Moines and move to Manchester and start the radio station there. And it's been a great relationship and a great opportunity for me. And it's been a great career for me to work with them and then eventually buy them out and now run the company that they started 40 some years ago.
All right. So how many stations do you oversee, so to speak, like a landlord during the feudal system?
Yes, a fiefdom. My fiefdom is 12 radio stations. We have stations in Manchester, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, New Hampton, Charles City, Mason City, Forest City, and Britt are the station locations. And then we have the digital media company, Koloff Digital. People may see that on the highway, Highway 69, just on the north side of Forest City. They do a great job there. Weston and Luann do a fabulous job of running that business that interacts with the radio stations and helps our customers with their digital marketing needs.
Mm-hmm. All right. So thank you. So this has really blossomed for you, Jim.
It has. It's been a great business and it's been a great career.
So it must be very time consuming on your part in trying to organize and stay on top of the managerial work that needs to be done with all these stations. Or do you have good help?
Great help. Fantastic help. No, okay. Carl Woldridge out at KIOW and many longtime employees, Mark Scar, Angela Nelson, AJ Taylor. I mean, I could go on. Great staff there in Forest City. And I mentioned Weston and Luann, but Lindy and Travis and great crew that works in the digital office. And, you know, each office, I go down the list of the great employees and the great team members that we have. And so really owe it to them. They're running the company now. I just try to stay out of the way.
Mm-hmm. And they probably prefer that, I'm guessing.
They would like me to stay out of the way.
So yeah. Then on a day-to-day basis, then, with you having supreme ruling power over this radio dynasty, what do you do in your office besides playing Sudoku?
Well, I do a lot of that, although Sudoku's too hard, so I just stick to video games. But I do sit here and worry about what Mr. B is going to say on his show that might get me in trouble with the FCC or some other regulatory agency.
You have been called numerous times, I'm sure.
I have been. It's a hotline. They call me every week when that show comes out, every 2 weeks. So we think about that. We obviously staffing is an issue right now. Everyone's dealing with that. So we're trying to add more people at the digital office, at the radio station. So, you know, finding quality people. So yourself, for instance, if you'd like to come and work for the stations, we would probably pass on you, but at least you could apply.
No. I'm busy and I'm not going to be treated like human waste. Forget it. Okay. So Jim, you have done, in my estimation, incredibly well for yourself and stayed humble in the process. Do you believe that, folks? Anyway, tell me about your lovely family. Tell me about your wife and your kids.
Well, that is a shining star in my life is my family and my wife, Amy. We've been married 26 years just a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how she's put up with me for 26 years. I couldn't put up with me for 26 years.
I hope that you remembered your anniversary.
I did remember it, yes. Of course, I was out of town and couldn't, you know, take her out for dinner, but she was still there when I came home. That was nice. I appreciated that.
Yes. Enjoy that while you can.
Yeah. And we have three kids. We have Sydney, Sydney's will graduate from UNI here in December after her study abroad trip in Spain that she'll be on here soon, a Spanish major there. And then our son, Nicholas, is 23. He works actually for the radio company. He just graduated from UNI with a degree in economics and business. And then our son, William, who's 19, will start Iowa State in August for aerospace engineering. He'll just be a freshman, just starting out down there.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive. So you and your lovely wife will be going through the empty nest syndrome?
Yeah, we will. We're not quite sure if we're going to like that or not. I guess we'll find out in August, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you'll like it.
I think we'll be okay. I think we'll make it.
Okay. Yeah. So, Jim, tell us about you moved to Manchester after graduation from college. And then did you move immediately to Cedar Falls?
No, I was in Manchester for probably 3 years.
Okay.
And, you know, speaking of shows I've done, I did a show in Manchester with the Manchester Theater. It was Oklahoma, and I was Curly in Oklahoma.
I never knew this.
Yeah, this is new information for you.
Wait a minute. Curly sings.
He sings a lot. And he dances in boots and a cowboy hat.
Do you have this on video? I would pay big money to see
it. I hope not. I hope it's all been destroyed if there was one. Actually, there is a video. There is a video of this, and I might take your big bucks to see it.
I think that's marvelous, Jim. I think actually, in all truthfulness, and I do have moments I can be truthful, that you would have been very good in that role.
It was a great role. I could hit the notes. That's always helpful when you can hit the notes. And it was a fun show to do. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, it's a great show. Great music. Mm-hmm. Great story. Mm-hmm. You got Jed, you know, you got the guy with dirt in his fingertips, and then you got Curly, the pretty boy. And
Jed, excuse me, Jed.
Oh, yeah.
Jed was misunderstood.
He was misunderstood. Yes. Yeah, he was.
It wasn't all his fault.
No.
Of course, I always root for the underdog, Jim. So,
yeah. You probably played Jed, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I did. I wanted to play Lori, but I had to shave my legs, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So anyway, enough of that. So, Jim, why do you think you and your lovely wife and children, even though Cedar Falls is a little bit out of the immediate Mr. B's neighborhood, but it's only a few miles, right, Jim?
Just a few miles. Yeah.
Why did you stay here in Iowa? What attracted you to stay here to raise your family and be the ruler of this radio dynasty?
You know, that's a good question. And
that's why I asked it.
Yeah, you're full of good questions. I just was talking to a gentleman last night, and he's an older gentleman, kind of like you, and he said that he won the lottery, and I said, "What do you mean? You didn't win the $1 billion lottery that they just awarded?" He said, "No, I won the lottery because I live here in Iowa," and he went through and was talking about several reasons why he thought that was true, that he won the lottery living in Iowa. And I agree with that. Whether it's Cedar Falls or Forest City, you know, we're so lucky to live in a place where it's pretty safe to walk the streets at night. You can get to anywhere. You just came back from a big trip overseas. You can get to anywhere you want to go and visit. And, you know, your neighbors are friendly. They'll help out anytime you need it. Great schools, awesome schools. You know, teachers are wonderful. The opportunities are vast. And so I don't know where else you could live. And it's not just Iowa. I think it's the Midwest, but certainly Iowa qualifies as one of the best places to live. I think it's a best kept secret.
Yes, because if I go on vacation, say to the southern part of the United States, and people ask me where am I from, I'll say Iowa, and they either will say Idaho,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or is that overseas?
Uh-huh.
Or is that somewhere in the middle of the country?
Or and Ohio. Yeah.
So
they have no clue.
Mm-hmm. And their basic response is, oh, yes, we've flown over Iowa.
And you know, that's okay. If they don't want to come to Iowa, that doesn't bother me at all, you know.
No.
They can stay where they are, and we can enjoy this God's country here in Iowa.
Yes, yes. So, Jim, you really are a wonderful representative of the North Iowa area here and how you have really made yourself so successful in what you have done. And so this is the point now of our interview where you're supposed to share accolades of praise for me that you... I'm kidding.
No, you are right. You are right. Absolutely. I have not been paid to say this. And
truthful.
It's truthful.
Truthful.
But, you know, I've said this to you before, and I know you do one of these. You do, no, stop. But it's true. if it wasn't for the training and the guidance that you gave me in speech and drama in high school, I never would have done some of the things I do today, and I wouldn't have the confidence that I have today to, you know, do the things I do today and have done throughout my life. So,
Would it be safe to say, Jim, when you were a freshman and you were involved with the musical, were you a shy person? Did I come to you and ask you to go out? I may have been desperate at that first year level. I'm not sure.
All my parts have come from desperation, I think, and that's how I've gotten the part throughout my life. So I'm just glad no one else wants to try out, so that gives me an opportunity to be in these shows. But I still consider myself a little shy, and people can't believe that, but I think everyone's got that in them. They're a little shy. You know, you are very outgoing and very flamboyant in your approach, but I think you'd say the same thing. We're all a little shy inside, right?
I'm very much an introvert though, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we have to talk ourselves into kind of playing that part and putting ourselves out there. So, yeah, I was shy. I didn't want to be up on stage. But then once I got up there, I felt this was a great way to express myself and not expose myself, by the way. I hope you didn't mishear me. But
I don't want to think about that, Jim. Please.
Thank you.
Okay, so you're thank welcome.
You. Is this going on the radio, by the way? I hope not.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Jim. I never know when I'm speaking with you. So, anyway, Jim, I would just like to say on a personal note that I have cherished our friendship over the years. I have kept in contact with various students. Of course, it does cost me money, but I never had to pay you because you always seemed to be sincerely interested in remaining my friend. And I think that you have raised a wonderful family. I think you're a great representation of the work ethic here for the North Iowa area.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you know, Forest City's near and dear to my heart. My parents still live there. I still get up there on a regular basis for work, to visit family and to visit friends. You know, we had a very 1985 was our graduating class, and we have a very close class. We still keep in touch and do a lot of things together. And I want to thank those students because in my fellow students, they really helped me. You helped me, but they helped me become the person I am. And I've got some great students that, you know, classmates that I've tried to emulate over the years and learned from. And I feel very lucky to have gone to Forest City High School, have teachers like yourself and many others that haven't paid me either.
Of course, many.
But the classmates I had, I'm very, very lucky to be in the class that I was and have the classmates that I have.
So you really have stayed in touch with your classmates throughout all these years?
We have. We get together every year, a big group. Some of the smaller group gets together even more often. And it's fun to remain friends and stay in contact for these many years. It's probably 12, 15, 16 that really do get together on a regular basis still to this day.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and we tell stories about you, of course.
Yeah, but they get a little more exaggerated, I'm sure, as the years go on.
They do. Yeah, you can make a movie out of you by now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been asked by many producers. So you'll just have to wait for that. It'll probably stream on Netflix.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably.
I probably won't be able to make it into the mainstream theaters. So, all right, Jim, I need to keep moving on here because I have so many other people I need to visit in my neighborhood. But I am so glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to visit with us. Folks, I just got to tell you, this is the kind of relationship we have, okay? It's all the time, jib, jib, jab, jab. So, and that's what I enjoy about it. But he knows deep in my heart that I love him like a son. So he knows that. So anyway, Jim, thank you for taking time. And I hope that you can continue success in your radio dynasty.
Thank you, Mr. B. And thank you for inviting me into your neighborhood. And I so much enjoy hearing your talks with all the individuals you've spoken with. I learn a little bit more about each of them. Some of them I didn't know anything about. And it's great to hear their story. As you've said before, everyone has a story. And everyone has an interesting story. So keep up the great work. And I hope you can continue to uncover those stories and keep bringing us a little insight as to our neighbors and what they're like around North Iowa. So thank you for doing this.
Well, you're welcome. But remember, Jim, I am living in poverty. So any kind of monetary recompense, I can't say the right word, recompense, pay me some money.
Checks in the mail. Checks in the mail.
You've said that for about a year and a half now. So anyway, no, I don't care about that. So anyway, thanks, Jim. You take care, and we'll keep listening to your many radio stations.
Thank you, Mr. B.
Okay, that's it, folks. I'm gone. Bye.
You've just heard another installment of Mr. B's Neighborhood. Tune in to KIOW Mix 107.3 every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. for Mr. B's Neighborhood. Missed a show or want to re-listen to one? Find episodes in podcast form at KIOW.com. It's located on the right-hand side of the homepage. Mr. B's Neighborhood, available at KIOW.com.